Good morning and welcome. What a night we had with all that snow, but we're happy that those that could make it here today made it, and those that are watching on Facebook or listening on the radio, we welcome you as well. A few announcements. We have a chili cook-off coming up at the end of the month, so get your recipes out and get ready for that. Also, after the worship songs, the worship part of the service right before the sermon, we are going to do the installation of the new officers, and actually all officers will be installed. And we also have the 2022 offering envelopes in the back, and also just a reminder of the offering plates are in the back. And I believe that's it. Again, we're happy to have you here today. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just humbly come before you. We thank you for your grace and your love, your mercy that you show us. I pray you help us to take that love that you give us and share it with our neighbors. Help us to reach out and action, not only just with words, but with deeds. I just pray be with Pastor Tim as he brings a message. May the Holy Spirit work through him. And just thank you for each one here today. And we lift up those that are stuck at home or in nursing homes. We just pray that your love will cover them. We just, if it is your will, we pray that you touch their bodies and heal them. I just thank you for a warm building that we can meet with our fellow believers and worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thought again, I have my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you with your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and ever die, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow makes the weary ones sweet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some
Hey, whoa. Yeah, I think they got me. They found me. As we begin this morning, and this is me speaking to each one of you, as we begin this new chapter, this new year, I thought it was fitting not just to have the newly elected, but also everyone on the board be up front here. You know, it's by the will of the Holy Spirit, speaking through the voice of this congregation, that each of you are serving as leaderships in various responsibilities and ministry here at the church. This is a holy calling that demands love, faithfulness, dedication, and a lifestyle of servanthood and witness. We wish today to give you an opportunity to pledge yourself in these responsibilities and to permit ourselves as a congregation to promise our willingness to trust in your leadership. It is good for us to listen to the words of the Apostle Paul today and remember these things. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 6, it says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you to walk worthy of the calling you have received, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. To each of you, do you promise to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, doing your best to keep the unity of the body through Christ our Lord Jesus, seeking the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of our Heavenly Father? If so, signify by saying, I do. And to you, the congregation, do you promise to be loyal to these leaders whom you have chosen, uplifting them in their calling with prayer and unity with them in service to the church and Christ? If so, please signify by standing up. By signification of this congregation and the Holy Spirit, I install each of you in your position. May God grant you the wisdom and power to be worthy of the calling that has been placed on you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for each one who is standing here in front of us. Father, may they seek you and your wisdom within their position. May they love on this congregation that they are called to lead. And may they remember that this is placed on them through you and the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray for the congregation as well, that they may seek out their leadership and that they may trust them in making decisions for the direction of the church and what you have called us as a body, that we may be unified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may have a seat. Happy New Year, everyone. Everybody excited? Have a great last week. 2020 and 2021 behind us. 2022 is going to be a good year, I got a feeling, right? So as we get ready and stuff, there is one thing I want to ask of each of you. If you look at your note on the bulletins that I handed out, there's a section for notes down below. And you don't have to fill this part in today. But if you guys can kind of keep this in mind and even take it home and think about it, if there are questions that you guys have about the Bible, about faith, about how we apply it to our lives today, I want you guys to have the opportunity to write in that note section somewhere, tear it off, and throw it into any of the offering plates. And that would really help me. I'm working on something for the future that I'm going to be doing. And it's for you guys as well. If there are questions and comments I would really appreciate it and kind of help. I'm not going to say I'm going to be able to answer everyone's questions, but it's something that will definitely help with some things in the future. So, with that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning and the opportunity we have to get together and to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning that it be your words that are spoken and not my own, that you take control of this message and that it's not me. And Father, if anything is said this morning that is not of you, let it fall on deaf ears. With the New Year's in full swing, many people have set out to make New Year's resolutions, setting goals in places and trying to kind of find out what this next year is going to be and having something to achieve, right? Some of the more common ones are exercise more. How many of you have heard people say that? I'm getting the new gym membership. It's the first of the year. We're going for it. You know, lose some weight. For some, it's to get more organized, okay? Get their house organized. Get their life organized. Figuring out a game plan. Maybe even having a game plan for meals every week. I am horrible at meal planning. And so grocery shopping looks like a disaster when I go. But for others, it's they want to learn a new skill or a new hobby. They want to figure out how to do something. Maybe you've always wanted to learn to play guitar, and you're like, this is the year. This is the year I'm going to do it. Or you've got kids who are determined to learn to play the drums, and you are trying to figure out how to deter them from it. But no matter what, we all have that. And then for others, you see them saying things like, I want to live life to the fullest, you know. Stop worrying so much about the little things and just take a chance on things a little bit more. And yet we also have save more money, spend less money. That's a great way to save money, by the way, is learning how to spend less money. Spend more time with family and friends, travel more, read more. There's an abundance of things that we could choose from for our New Year's resolution. But there's one that we don't hear very often, and that is work on our relationship with Christ. We don't hear very often that we want to get into God's Word more. And I'm not saying it hasn't, that there aren't people who do, but it's not very common. You know, working on our foundations of our faith and getting to know who God is something we don't see people working on as much. It's more about that 30-second devotional and that little scripture typically than it's to continue working on that relationship. And one of my New Year's resolutions this year is that I want to work on equipping each of you to share the gospel of Jesus, to help you guys better be able to explain what you believe and why you believe it, and to help the church be more prepared to explain the doctrines and things that we believe. One of the ways we're going to do that is over the next several weeks, we're actually going to be launching a new series, and I'm entitling it We Believe. And we're going to do just that. We are going to look at our core doctrines of what do we believe and what do we stand for as Christians. Why do we believe in baptism? Why do we believe in communion? What do we believe about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? What do we believe about the Trinity? What do we believe about end times? We're going to go through all of these basic teachings. And hopefully the goal is that you will be better able to explain to others what you believe. And I think this foundations is very important that we have that. You know, because the world around us is filled with false teachers. We have false teachers and prophets going all over the place. They are expressing false gospels, teaching things that they're from God. But when you study the scriptures, you find out that there's no basis for this claim. And often are flat out proven wrong when compared to the whole context of the Bible. You know, this shouldn't be a surprise to us, though. In Matthew 7:15, it actually tells us, be on your guard against false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but will inwardly are ravaging wolves. There are people that are going to come within our midst, within the center of Christianity, and going to claim that they're from Jesus. They're going to look like us. They're going to talk like us. They're going to be able to do all of that, but they're going to take people in the wrong direction. We've been warned that this would happen. Often we fall for these things simply because we like what the person has to say. You know, they make us feel good about the life choices we've made. And we like to be made feel good. Have you ever read something in the Bible, though, and thought, man, I don't like that? Like it really just kind of pulled at you, and you weren't happy with what it said. Well, we feel convicted at that moment. So when a teacher or a preacher comes along and tells us, hey, don't worry about that passage. We don't have to worry about it. And doesn't call us out on our sins. We like that. It's human nature. So we tend to gravitate towards things like that that justify our actions and thoughts. We tend to gravitate towards teachers who make us feel good about ourselves instead of ones who challenge us. And that's a lot of times what these false teachers do. And it's not hard to find these false teachers. I mean, just look at TV teachers, for an example. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some really good ones out there, too. There's some great people to watch and to follow. And I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but there are also many teachers who, they don't teach the full gospel. They teach what motivates them. And a lot of times it's about money for themselves. You know, with the rise of social media, we see false teachers getting more and more of a stance as well. So they are willing to teach things that aren't true because it glorifies them. They often teach Jesus as this genie in the bottle concept. And they'll use lines such as, and I know I've said it before, but it always makes me laugh because I've actually seen it done. Send me $1,000 and God's going to send you $10,000 in blessing. That's not how God works. I'm really sorry to tell that. Don't get me wrong, God will bless you. God will take care of you. But having those setups is not how it works. And in fact, we know that God gives his children good gifts. And Jesus talks about how the Father above takes care of his children. But he wants to take care of us on more than just financial means. These false teachers often teach a form of a false gospel. Gospels that tickle our ears. On the other hand, we have those who teach Jesus in the form of gospel of religion. You guys have ever heard this before, but the gospel of religion, it's kind of an old one. It's fallen on us even down to the early church. They had the gospel of religion going on. There was a group of people who came along after Paul and letting everyone know that if they wanted to be a Christian, they had to become like a Jew first. That no matter what Paul had told them, that the freedom that was in Christ, they had to convert to Judaism and be circumcised before they could ever become a Christian. Paul was beyond frustrated with that. That's the gospel of religion. This is the same gospel that tells us that we have to work our way to salvation. That if we are good enough, or that if we do this and that, then Jesus will love us and save us. But the moment we mess up, it's over. I grew up in a culture of the gospel of religion. Amish is very much so the gospel of religion. I had to live a certain way, dress a certain way, act a certain way, and as long as I did these things, there was a chance that Jesus would love me. And let me tell you, it is one of the most heartbreaking ways to do it. You know, we see people using things like Bible translations and clothes and whether or not you can watch TVs or movies. And if we engage in our culture at all, we will lose our salvation underneath this concept. It's Jesus plus something for our salvation. That's the concept of the gospel of religion. The problem is that salvation is a free gift. It's nothing we can earn, nothing that we can be good enough to get. It's solely Christ on the cross. I like to put it this way. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Because there's nothing else. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it tells us, for you are saved by grace through faith, and that is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from your works, so that no one can boast. Think about that for a minute. We'll read that passage one more time. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. We can't boast on this. We can't work our way there. None of us are suddenly good enough and been able to achieve it. There's another false gospel out there right now called moralism. And it's the idea that as long as we're good and decent people, we can get to heaven. And this is probably one of the most common ones that you don't even realize that you're hearing. Okay? It doesn't matter what you believe or what kind of relationship you have with God. Just try to do your best, and you're going to make it to heaven. Basically, be a good person. You know, I've heard people telling me over and over again, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read the Bible. I'm a good person. By what standard? You know, the Bible tells us in the red letters, which we know are Jesus' words, in Mark 10:18, no one is good except Christ, except God alone. If none of us are good, how can we be moral on our own? At least within God's standards. Yet we so often, we strive for that. We find ourselves slipping. We find that we can't be good enough. And sadly, a lot of the people who follow the gospel of moralism, when they find out that they can't do it on their own, they turn and walk away. They understand they can't live up to God's standards, and they don't see any other way out of it. And this is why it's important that we understand the truths of the gospel. This is why it's important that we understand what we believe, so that when someone comes along and is like, I am trying really hard, but I can't live up to these standards, we can show them the truth and how God has already made a way. One that I know you guys are very familiar with, if you've spent any time watching TV in the last 20 to 30 years, it at some point, and it is called the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel teaches us that if we are saved, we are rich, happy, healthy, and whole. That if we are saved and believe in Jesus, that we will live a blessed and prosperous, happy life. Big grin all the time. All we have to do is donate $19.99 a month to the ministry of their choosing, and God will take care of the rest. This is the only way God will bless us too, just so you know. It often teaches that if we're truly saved, that we will be free from a life of suffering, and that God doesn't allow suffering and pain for true believers. Well, there's a problem with this mindset, and I'm sure many of you guys are very aware of that. But first, let's start off with Matthew 16:24-25, where it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Now, this is a very pesky passage for those on the prosperity gospel. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of me will find it. I don't know about you guys, but that doesn't sound like a life with no suffering. You know? That doesn't sound like a very prosperous life either. You guys know Jesus was homeless, right? He tells us that he didn't have a place to lay down his head. Jesus had to go to a fish's mouth to be able to pay his taxes. You know, one of his close friends betrayed him. His family denied him. Did we mention that he was murdered on a cross and died a sinner's death for you and me? Sounds very prosperous. It sounds like Jesus doesn't even fit within this gospel and the expectation. There's something I read earlier this week, and it's the next slide, if you can throw it up. I think it's really important for us to remember this. If your definition of a gospel is too small to include Jesus, you missed it. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. If our way of understanding the Bible, Jesus himself doesn't fit into it, and if our relationship with God, Jesus doesn't fit into it, we missed it. Are there blessings attached to the gospel? Yeah. Does God provide for his children? Yeah. But when we elevate just one part of God over the rest, we run into trouble. And we miss God entirely. When people find themselves following this gospel and they don't see their life changing, they don't suddenly see themselves as rich, they find out that they're still sick, they're poor, and they may even be sad. They judge themselves. And they feel as if God doesn't care about them and their walk. And it turns people off from being able to understand the truth of the gospel. We need to be so careful on what we're presenting to people and the words that we use when we're speaking on behalf to show people who God is, that we're speaking the truth in love. There's another one called self-help gospel. This teaches us that Jesus died to make the best version of ourselves, that we're not really bad people or sinners. We just need a little bit of help. I can honestly say there's times I need a whole lot of help, not just a little bit. And this is often where you find books and sermons on how to be a good parent in 3 easy steps, or how to get out of debt and live your best life now. Though I will be honest, oftentimes these books and stuff do have some great advice. They often also miss the entirety of Jesus alone. They miss the good news. And if you do actually find scripture within this context, you're going to find that it's a snippet here and there. This is no gospel at all. It's primarily motivational speeches. Signs and wonders is another one which teach that if you're truly saved, that you're going to see miracles. That if you're truly saved and you have enough faith, you can be healed and you can heal others. So if you get sick and don't get better, then were you really saved? Did you have enough faith? Now, do we believe in miracles? 100%. I believe they still happen to this very day. Do we believe that God still gives us signs and directions in life? 100%. Guaranteed, he still does these things. Do we believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still in operation? Sure do. But here's the thing. When we're saved, those things follow us. We don't seek them out. And yet many people seek the gift, not the giver. This is nothing new. In fact, none of these gospels that we've looked at today, and I say gospels loosely with a lowercase g, are anything new. In Acts chapter 8, in fact, we see Simeon saw the Spirit was given through the laying of the apostles' hand, and what did he do? He offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also so that anyone I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." See, he didn't understand that that was a gift from God. He just wanted the gift. He didn't care about the giver. He wanted to be able to do the signs and wonders, but he wanted to do it without having a full surrender to God. And this last one that I want to present to you guys this morning, it's probably one of the more difficult ones, and I'm sure it's going to ruffle some feathers. It's called the Gospel of America. And let me start by saying this. I love this country. I feel blessed that I get to live in America, that I get the freedoms that this country allows. And we should thank God that of all the countries in this world, he has allowed us to live here, to be born here. It may not be perfect, but compared to other countries in this world, we are truly blessed. But have you ever noticed on our money in other areas, it's "God bless America"? Have you ever noticed it says "In God we trust"? What God are they speaking of? We like to think that it's our God, but never does it mention Jesus, never does it mention the Holy Spirit, never brings up the cross or the Trinity. It just uses the word God. The Gospel of America is often looked at as American exceptionalism, that we are special above everyone else. This is no different than back in the first century church. In Paul's day, we had the circumcision party. Today, we have the Democrat party. We have the Republican party, the Green party, the Libertarians, and so many more. If you go online, you will find news articles, social media posts, and blogs all quoting Jesus and all claiming that Jesus has their view. I've seen posts, and I'm not kidding you, that say things like Jesus was a capitalist, Jesus was a Republican. Those weren't around at that time. You will see Jesus was a socialist and a refugee. You will see Jesus' name used to push any agenda of man you can imagine. The problem is oftentimes this particular version of Jesus in which is being betrayed, this gospel, it's not true for China. It's not true for Iraq, South America, Russia, or many other countries around the world. Guys, if this gospel that we are going through only fits one country, that's not the gospel. This is why we send out missionaries around the world, because the gospel is for the whole world, not just a select group of people. It's often that we can't figure out what... Have you ever noticed it's very easy for us to figure out what direction someone leans politically? You can get on someone's Facebook page, and within 5 minutes, you've got a pretty good idea who they voted for in the last four elections. Okay? But if people look on your Facebook page, can they tell that you're a Christian? Can they tell? And if it's easier for people to figure out what political party you belong to than it is for you to figure out if you're a Christian, I think it's time to reevaluate some things in your life. You know, I've had people ask me, Tim, why don't you speak more on politics? It's not my job. My job is to make sure that I present Jesus to as many people as I possibly can. None of that other stuff matters. Because at the end of the day, that's where my citizenship is. It's in the family of God. It's heaven. That's what we should all be pursuing. You see, the true gospel can be explained in an actual acronym of the word gospel. And that's what I want to present to you yet this morning in closing. The first one is God created us to be with Him. That's the G. In the first two chapters of Genesis, we see God creating the universe and everything in it. We see God creating Adam and Eve, and He told them to be fruitful and multiply. He made them to be in complete fellowship with Him. In the same way God made us to fellowship with Him, His original plan was that you and I were to be absolute and perfect relationship with Him and each other. In total unity. God created us to be in harmony with all of heaven and all of earth. But that was the plan was disrupted by the evil act thousands of years ago when sin entered this world. And the next one, our sins separate us from God. When Adam and Eve were tempted by Satan and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they thereby sinned and they immediately became aware of their error. They sewed fig leaves together to cover their shame and hid in the garden. Now, they were hiding from the one they used to fellowship with regularly. They were hiding from God. Men and women have been hiding from God ever since, covering their sin and shame with fig leaves of religion and philosophy, using whatever the world has available to cover them up from God. We've got G and O done. S now, sins cannot be removed by good deeds. From the beginning of humanity has attempted to remove the stain of sin by good deeds. When Cain offered God vegetables and his appeasement for sin, God rejected it. And Cain was infuriated and killed his brother Abel. In Exodus, God gave the Israelites 10 commandments, not to save them, but to show them that they couldn't live up to the perfect standards that God had. In Leviticus, God gave the Israelites the sacrificial system as a temporary atonement for their sin. And every time a Jew sinned, he or she was to sacrifice a goat without blemish. And think about that. If you were a Jew in the Old Testament and you had to make a sacrifice, every time you lied, lusted, gossiped, complained, or argued, how fast would you run out of animals? How fast would each one of you, if you had to do that, run out of animals? The sacrificial system was meant to point inward, upward, and forward. It pointed inward to convince you of your sinfulness. If you were honest before God, then you would soon realize that you can never make enough sacrifices for your sin. It pointed upward to make you trust in God for salvation instead of sacrifices. And it poured forward to the ultimate sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. And P is paying the price for sin. Jesus died and rose again. When Jesus came to this earth, he came as the fulfillment of the law and to be the ultimate final sacrifice. He lived the perfect life that we could not live and deny, live and died in our place for our sin. When he was up on that cross, he yelled out his final words, "It is finished." The final price for our sins were given and paid in full that day. He is for everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. This eternal life is given freely to us by God through faith alone, not by our works or good deeds, but by faith alone. When we believe that Jesus died for our sin and trust in him alone, confessing as our Lord and Savior, we receive eternal life. And we're guaranteed a home in heaven. And lastly, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. Because Jesus did die on that cross and he rose from the dead, we will be with Jesus forever in heaven. When we trust in Jesus, we enter into this personal, permanent relationship with God called eternal life. A lot of times we look at eternal life as something that starts at the moment when we die. The truth is, eternal life starts at that moment that we accept Christ and confess him as our Lord and Savior. This is a life lived with Jesus every single day through prayer, worship, and living in the strength, knowing that God provides through the Holy Spirit. Knowing no matter what this life here on earth throws at us, we know that God is walking with us and that we no longer have to face anything in this world alone. That he is constantly there. And that is the gospel. You know, this whole thing today of looking at all these different false teachings, it can become overwhelming at times. And you may be wondering, how do we get to the point where I don't have to, where I can tell? Well, if you're saved, you already have it. It's called the Holy Spirit. Spending time in his word daily, this is why I push that. Spending time in God's word, spending time listening to the Holy Spirit, spending time in prayer, he will tell you if something is wrong. And the better you get to know the word of God, the easier it is to see these things. So I want to encourage you guys as we go into this new year to keep in God's word every day, to push forward, to not give up. If you mess up and you miss a day, you missed a day. Do it again the next day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your Son, and I thank you for the gospel that you have given us. Father, I ask that you just open up each and every one of our hearts here today, and that we just seek you as we go into this new world, and that we trust you in all that we do. Give us wisdom, give us guidance, and most of all, help us remember your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step. which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace, is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
May God bless each and every one of you as you go out this week. May you remember Him in all that you do. And I pray that you all are a light to our community, that they can see Jesus in you. God bless, guys.